Now, Dave Kaufman hosts The Kaufman Show with Dave Kaufman, but also Jay Farrar. The Kaufman Show, only on TSN 690.
Gentlemen, this is the Kaufman Show. I'm Dave with Jay. Special in-studio guest Andrew Berkshire joins us tonight. And that is Montreal's Sam Roberts Band bringing us in. It's been another one of those CanCon evenings on the Kaufman Show, Jay.
The what?
CanCon.
CanCon?
Canadian content.
That's right.
You've never had to fill out a SoCan log, I can tell.
That's because I've never accomplished anything, Robin.
What are you talking about?
I don't need to.
You're the co-host of the Kaufman Show.
I don't get
with yeah. Jay Farrar.
And you have a really good Twitter handle.
I do have.
Wow!
Marco Polo producing the show today.
Jay, you've been learning the board, haven't you?
I've been learning the board. Yesterday, I came in and. During Robin's vampire session last night, she was kind enough to show me some of the technical aspects of TSN 690 as I would like to continue working here. So the more I know, the more I can participate, and the better it is for everybody.
I look forward to it. Are you going to try it out tonight? Are you going to do it next week? How's this going to work?
Maybe in the next hour I'll try a couple of segments.
Yeah?
Sit in there with Robin and she'll help me out because she's a genius at these things.
Damn straight.
And I'm not so bright.
Oh,
not so bright.
I don't know about
You'll
that.
You'll do just fine.
I know. I'm not just a poodle. I'm not just talent. I can
press buttons.
It's not as easy as it looks.
No, it's not.
Yeah.
In about a half an hour's time, we're going to be joined by a gentleman by the name of Brett Morgan. He is, his Twitter handle is Top Off The Trop. The Trop, of course, is Tropicana Field, where the Tampa Bay Rays play in front of very sparse audiences. And a lot of rumors in the last couple of years that may be the team that ends up coming to Montreal, if a team were to come to Montreal. But in the meantime, they have fans. And they have fans who are standing up for the team. Yes, Jay?
How is this conversation going to go?
What do you mean?
When you talk to this guy.
What do you mean?
Well, you know,
I'm going to be a jerk to him?
What? No, people, lesser people than you have been jerk. I mean, just recently, my brother went on the air with someone and the guy was a real jerk to him.
What do you mean?
Very condescending about bringing the Expos back. And this was the kind of thing we were facing when the team was just on the brink of its demise,
mm-hmm.
You know, it was the butt of all jokes, you know, there's 10 people at the Expos game, you know, it became blonde jokes. It was like, whenever you could, you know, somehow it's relevant to, if there's a low number involved, well, then somehow you can fit an Expos game joke into it.
Probably, you know?
And I don't want to do it to this guy.
Well, that's not my intention. And do you remember you were in studio, Jay, when we interviewed the guy who was the, he had started the Rat Marlins campaign, Rage Against the Marlins. He had been kicked out of opening night for wearing an anti-Jeffrey Loria t-shirt.
Awesome.
I think it'll be a similar conversation.
Do you think he has anger towards the Tampa Bay Rays themselves?
No,
or
not
Major
at
League
all.
Baseball?
We will find out. I think, I mean, again, if I was to put myself into his shoes, and we've only spoken through Twitter, so I'm really looking forward to, quote unquote, meeting him tonight.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's about the fans. I think it's a frustrating when you have one of the greatest teams in the major leagues. And don't kid yourself. The Tampa Bay organization is one of the best run organizations in baseball. The guy must be wanting to pull his hair out.
And that's something we never had to face, because even near the end in 2003,
mm-hmm.
when we still weren't even in first place in the wild card, but we were in the race, we were well in the race come July, August, we started to get 35, 40,000 people in Olympic Stadium. This has not happened in Tampa Bay.
No, it doesn't.
And that's a question I'd like to ask him. Or you ask him, whatever.
You can ask him, too. There were, I think, about 24 the other day. But the game that he was trying to, they ended up getting 2,000 people to this game. And I think the total attendance was about 14,000. It was a wild card game with huge wild card implications last week against Texas. And, you know, you can be nothing but proud of yourself. The guy brought 2,000 people to a baseball game. Unfortunately, that's only 1/25 of the stadium, right?
Yeah.
It's rough. It's rough, man. Yeah. It's rough.
It's easier for us when we're starting from nothing.
That's right.
You know? And he's got the team.
He's got the team. And I'll tell you, I don't want Tampa to move to Montreal.
No.
I don't want that. I would love nothing more than expansion. I don't want to do to someone else what has been done to me.
Absolutely.
I'm a golden rule follower.
Yeah.
Back to the Habs.
Yeah.
We're talking Habs on the Kaufman Show. We've got Andrew Berkshire with us for another 10 minutes or so. And as the last segment ended, you said that you think the Canadiens are going to be serious contenders this year.
Oh, absolutely.
That's very exciting.
Good for
not
you, man.
Yeah, I have not heard that a lot.
Good for you.
Well, the reason why you haven't heard it is basically that everyone saw them go from second last or last in their conference to second in the conference in a shortened season. Then they go out in the playoffs really quick. Everyone says, oh, okay, season's a fluke. But the fact is, when you go through the advanced stats that we always talk about
right.
last time, the Canadiens were actually really, really good last year, like third best in the entire NHL. And they ran in some poor luck in the postseason. Most of that core is back. You've switched out Ryder for Briere. You could say that's a bit of a downgrade, but it might not be. You've switched out Parros for Halpern. That's a serious downgrade, but it's on the fourth line, and Parros isn't going to play a lot. And Jared Tenorti is probably going to play over Douglas Murray by the end of the season. You've got Galchenyuk's a year older, Gallagher's a year older, Eller's breaking out, and hopefully Desharnais is a little bit better this year. You've got the team at the right age with the right people. This is the start, and it's only uphill from here.
You also haven't mentioned the reigning Norris Trophy winner.
Yes, that guy, that PK Subban guy, who for some reason is the only guy I've ever seen win the Norris Trophy. Who later in the summer, people say, oh, he's not a top five defenseman.
I know. Might not make Team Canada.
I love it.
It drives me nuts.
Every year,
but at the same time, it's just another chip on Subban's shoulder that he'll use to knock somebody's head off.
Yeah. As somebody who's big on stats, will you expect a drop in Subban's play this year just because it was so good last year?
Not his play, but his points, yes.
Okay.
He probably won't score quite as many goals in the same pace. He'll probably still go like 15 goals this year. But unless he gets really rotten luck. But Subban is just a force. And what people don't realize is that where he makes his biggest impact is defensively. Like when they had that TSN broadcast earlier in the summer about picking Team Canada, and Darren Dreger said that PK Subban was a bad defensive player or a liability defensively, I could do nothing but laugh, because if you go through all these statistics and you go through the entire league, almost nobody in the entire NHL can limit shots and scoring chances against like PK Subban.
Right.
And the people who do start all their shifts in the offensive zone, they're super sheltered guys. Subban takes on Eric Staal. He takes on Alex Ovechkin. He takes on Sidney Crosby. And those guys can't score against him.
No. Yeah, and you know what I love? I love what you said is that it's not about the guys that we're replacing and the free agents that you pick up and the trades you make. The Canadians are going to succeed upon their developmental stage, the guys that are starting to come of age. Like, this is what we've been waiting for. The rebuilding process started about 2 or 3 years ago. Now Gallagher, Galchenyuk are in their second year. They already had decent years last year. Galchenyuk slowed down a little bit at the end. I think Pacioretty may have a career year this year.
Well, that's the hope.
Assuming that he stays healthy.
Which is a hell of an assumption considering how, you know, the bad luck that kid has had throughout his career so far.
But he is Wolverine. He comes back right away.
It's amazing.
I know nothing. And mentally as well. You know, nothing phases this kid.
Yeah.
You know, I know for a fact that...
It's youth, man.
Yeah.
He's not old enough to be afraid of anything yet.
Yeah, maybe.
I'm serious.
Yeah, it's like those guys you bring to a softball game who've never played baseball before, and they have no fear of the ball, and they end up breaking their face every time.
You know what? That actually happened to a friend of mine earlier in the summer.
Your friend with Colby Rasmus?
No. a girl that I went to high school with was pitching at a softball game, and... Right down the center, right in the face.
Oh, man.
She had to have reconstructive facial surgery and everything.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
It's a dangerous game, that
it
baseball.
Is. Seriously.
Yeah. Anyway, as I was saying, Lars Eller as well. Now we're depending
on... And Eller put on a lot of weight in the offseason, like muscle,
yeah,
I mean.
Yeah.
He's looking
the
good.
The core of the team is there. It's there. You're not going to do much more with trades and free agency right now. You have to depend on the guys that you've spent the last 2 or 3 years putting together. And hopefully, the goaltender will show up as well.
Yeah, which is why I question the Briere move. It seemed counterintuitive to everything that the team has been sort of building towards.
I don't think this was a move based on changing the team. I think it was just a move to fill in a spot.
A complimentary move?
It's just a team to fill in a spot, you know, get a veteran presence out there. You know, Briere is not a guy who doesn't care. He goes out and but, you know, his best days are clearly behind him.
Right.
But it's just a good guy to have in the room. People like this guy. Everybody gets along with him. You know, he's a guy from here. You know, I don't think he's as important as everybody touted him to be. I think he's just a piece of the puzzle. The main core are the guys that I mentioned before.
Absolutely. And again, you know, the youth is what's going to carry this team forward throughout the future.
Right.
And you talk about guys like Gallagher and Galchenyuk, and it's amazing to think that they're only starting their second seasons in the National Hockey League.
Yeah. Galchenyuk's still 19.
Oh, my God.
19.
He looks like a baby.
Unbelievable.
19. The boxers I'm wearing are older than that.
What were you doing at 19, Jay? Because you know what I was doing at 19? Not making millions of dollars and scoring goals in the National Hockey League. That's
definitely
sure.
Not. No, I was not doing that either at 19.
I was
19.
Wandering around my room trying to figure out which end smelled the worst. That's what I was doing at 19.
I was...
You asked, Robin. I'm sorry. In fact,
I
just got out of that stage a couple of months ago.
Mazel tov, Jay.
Yeah, thank you. Progressing.
I don't know if I want to tell everybody what I was up to at 19, but you probably would have seen me somewhere in the cheap seats at the Olympic Stadium.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Sounding like Travis.
Yeah. Way high up in the seats at Olympic Stadium, in the high seats at Olympic Stadium.
Well, those were the cheapest ones,
okay.
Right?
Right.
And you could have so much leg room, too.
So much leg room.
Oh, my goodness. You could just stretch out over three rows if you wanted to. What was it? I think it was section 223, 222, something like that.
Where the redcoats don't come to get you.
Right underneath where the security booth is, actually. I remember learning that a couple of years later when I took a tour of the stadium.
And they noticed you? Is that what happened?
Well, I just noticed that there was this spot. There was this room. It was sort of adjacent to where the owner's box was and the press box up top. And you walk in and it's like that scene in Sliver. Everybody just watching cameras after cameras. Screens.
Okay. Really? Yeah. And somebody was manning these stations?
Somebody was manning it, yeah.
That's incredible.
Sitting there smoking a cigarette and manning the security station. You know how they do in Montreal. Let's go out on some Jean Leloup here. All right. This is the Kaufman Show on TSN 690. Andrew, I can't believe the time is up already.
It happens.
You going to join us again one of these days?
Absolutely.
A lot of fun,
man.
Thank you.
It's a little bit further of a trek this time, though.
I could pick you up on my way, but then you get here early.
Well, I could do
that. And you'd have to stay until late.
Well, we'll see.
Those are the trade-offs.
I don't know if I want to spend that much time with you.
Follow him on Twitter at Andrew Berkshire, Habs EOTP, Habs Eyes on the Prize, and Ears on the Prize as well, right?
Yeah, that's our new radio show that we're just starting up. It's tomorrow at 7 p.m.
Awesome, with you and Habs Laughs, Mike Obrin.
Yep, that's right.
Fantastic stuff.
I'll listen for half an hour.
Oh, aren't you nice? Aren't you nice?
I got other things to do.
We'll try to get all the good stuff into the first half hour.
Thank you.
The last word on this on our discussion from Chantal, Habs Girl for Life. Briere has character. Character in all caps.
Bergevin,
so you know she
like
means
that
it.
Word.
Thanks for that, Chantal. We appreciate it. This is the Kaufman Show. Jay and I'll be back with Torben Rolfsson, Vancouver comedian. Get those rim shots ready, Robin.